From fast facts to FAQs, overtures to offerings, get the inside scoop on the upcoming National Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. Special pre-election coverage includes biographies, personal statements, and interviews introducing readers to each of the three men nominated to serve as Synod President. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, he healed. Well, there's Jesus at the beginning of John's Gospel. He is attending a very important social function. These functions are even important to us today. A wedding, even more so important in first century Palestine. He's there by invitation along with his disciples and apparently also his mother. And at first it seems that Jesus wants to, well, like most of us would, kick back and enjoy himself and mind his own business. He even says something to that effect to his mother when she approaches him with the problem that they are running short on wine. He says, in effect, I'm just going to mind my own business. Why don't you do the same? But in the end, he does not mind his own business. In the end, he changes the course of this social event, this wedding, in a miraculous way. He turns water into wine. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on Jesus in John chapter 2 at the wedding at Cana. Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why is it important to note that here in the first miracle that John records, Jesus uses earthly things, created things, in doing his first sign?
Probably because the first miracle he ever did prior to his incarnation was, of course, the creation of the world. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and it says that nothing was created that was not created by the Word. And then down in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. So Jesus, in the creation of the world, continues to use earthly articles in order to show the work that he is about to be doing. And water is really, really important. Remember at the Red Sea, God divided the water so they could go through the Red Sea on dry land. Of course, when the Egyptians came to follow them, it didn't last very long. So the fact that God uses elements of the world, for example, when he fed the 5,000, he could have just given out empty baskets and told the disciples to give out what was in them. He had done that, by the way, with Elijah, if you'll remember, when he was with that widow and asked for food, and she said, I only have a little flour, a little wine, a little oil. I'll make it for you and my son and I, and then we will die. And he says, no, that container will never stop being empty. So when Jesus uses natural elements to do his miracles, it just shows once more his power over all creation. I would want to make the point to the children that just because Jesus did a miracle does not make him God. Because you'll recall, there was a preacher who was preaching one late night, and a man named Eutychus fell out of a two-story, three-story window to his death, and the preacher went down and raised him from the dead. And nobody says that that made him God. So it's really important to understand that just the miracle itself does not make God God, because then all of the disciples, many of them did miracles, and that didn't make them God, but it did fulfill for Jesus the fact that he was the Messiah. As he told John the Baptizer's disciples, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the mute speak. which is quotes from the Old Testament about the sign of when the Messiah is going to come. So that would be my answer to your question.
So tell us the story that as it's recorded there in John chapter 2.
Yes, it says, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. Now, I have no idea why they would say third day until you take a look at how weddings were done. The third day of the week is Tuesday on the Jewish calendar. And believe it or not, it is still the preferred day for weddings in Israel. Why? Well, that's because if you go back to Genesis and the creation of the world, on the original third day, God pronounced things good twice. This is good. This is good. The only time he did so in the 7 days of creation. And therefore, among the Jews, the third day is known as a day of double blessing, the best day of the week to begin a new life. And Jewish wedding feasts, it was not at all unusual for them to last a whole week, 7 days. But to run out of wine so early would have been embarrassing to say the least. Now, how do we know about this? Because not only was Mary invited and Jesus invited, but also the disciples were invited. So this must have been some close friends or relatives to the Holy Family. And when the wine ran out, Mary said to Jesus, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." I want to read from the King James Version, because that's really kind of interesting, where it says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Now, those are really inappropriate translations. The original Greeks have datives, and therefore the proper translation is, "What to me and to you, woman?" In other words, it was really not the concern of the guests to make sure that there was enough wine, but Mary still asked Jesus to get involved in something that was really not their concern. And that's why the original language says, "What to me and to you, woman?" Well, we're not in charge of the wine. But his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever Jesus tells you to." It says there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Now, these are used for ceremonial washing. They were a symbolic act of cleansing from sin, not for just cleaning off the dust of the road or other dirt. They were placed at the door of a house, so a person would not enter a friend's house in a ceremonial unclean state and therefore contaminate the house. What they would do is dip their fingers into the water and wipe them dry. And therefore, symbolically, they would be washing away their sins and be ceremonially clean. For example, when we say, "I'm washing my hands of this matter," we really mean we're trying to absolve ourselves of any responsibility for it. That phrase became immortalized by Pontius Pilate in the matter of Jesus' trial and conviction when he washed his hands. Now, there is a tradition that this water would also perhaps contain a sprinkling of ashes from a red heifer in case anyone had inadvertently touched something dead. That's found in Numbers chapter 19. So we need to remember that these stone jars are actually empty, because Jesus commands unnamed servants to completely fill six of the jars. They were of stone, they were cold, and they are empty. It kind of reminds us of what Jesus does with water. I want to read Ezekiel chapter 36, where God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. Boy, if that doesn't remind us of David's song, Create in Me a Clean Heart and a Right Spirit, and of course of Nicodemus, when Jesus told him that he must be born again by water and the Spirit. In other words, if you go to John chapter 16, which is the same book as this wedding at Cana, the Holy Spirit is described as someone who would not speak of himself, but only of Jesus. In fact, the only name ever given of the Holy Spirit is actually the description of his job, comforter or counselor. It also can be translated intercessor or advocate, and is a Greek word, parakletos. And these servants, therefore, could be seen as a model of the Holy Spirit who accomplishes the work that Jesus wants to do, because he's going to soon be filling us with living water.
When we come back, we'll come back to the story as Pastor Tom Baker is teaching the Sunday school lesson of Jesus at the wedding of Cana. There in John chapter 2, turning water into wine. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Are you looking for a first communion, confirmation, or graduation gift? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is the new bonded leather cover edition of Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Martin Luther's Small and Large Catechisms, 1-800-325-3040.
Looking for a faithful Lutheran church in East Central Oklahoma? Welcome to Trinity Okmulgee, a friendly and faithful LCMS congregation only 40 miles south of Tulsa. Hi, this is Pastor Chris Teebs. Check us out at trinityokmulgee.org. That's Trinity, O-K-M-U-L-G-E-E, all one word, .org. See you soon at Trinity Okmulgee, Oklahoma.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/cala. That's C-A-L-L-A.
If you're at all interested in the future of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you won't want to miss the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. This special issue of the magazine offers a wealth of information on the upcoming LCMS National Convention, including convention overtures, the national offering, and interviews with the three men nominated to serve as Synod President. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Sanctifying your yard work with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. Peace Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas, Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin, Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska, St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois, Our Savior's Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri, and Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at the website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkett. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, Jesus Changing Water into Wine. Tom, pick up the story where we left off.
Okay, at this point then, the unnamed servants go ahead and they actually fill the pots with water. Now, when I was at the seminary, and this is before the big walkout, we were told that why Jesus did the miracle the way he did is the unnamed servants were actually his disciples who took these jars and filled them with wine. And therefore, when they brought them in, they already had wine in them. And when Jesus did the miracle, it just looked like a miracle. It really hadn't happened. I'm kind of a magician doing tricks. I like doing them during Bible classes to make theological points. But it's really pretty easy to take water and change it into what looks like wine. All you do is add a few drops of sodium hydroxide in a slightly alkaline idea of waters, and then you put in phenylpropethylene, and it's a solution you put in the bottom of the glass. And sure enough, when you mix it together, it becomes an intense red color. And then all you have to do is, in another glass, put a few drops of concentrated acid in the bottom of it, and when this so-called wine, which really isn't wine, it's just red, is poured into this glass, the acid neutralizes the base, and guess what? It goes back looking like regular water. But we know that Jesus was not a magician, which means he did tricks in order to make things look like they really weren't happening. This really did occur. And the proof of it, that if you do the trick I said and someone tasted it, they'll probably throw up because it's just terrible tasting. But what they did, Jesus said, draw some of it out and give it to the master of the feast. Now, the master of the feast was kind of the head person. He conducted things to make sure there was enough food, enough wine, etc. He was kind of the director of the wedding. And he drank it, and guess what he says? He drank what had now become real wine. He did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. So this is evidence that this really was good wine. Now, John never puts anything in the Bible that doesn't have some significance. And the significance here is, what does this point to? Well, what it points to is that Jesus truly did a miracle. There are some scientists who recognize that if water was turned into wine, it would require the fusion of hydrogen atoms in the water to make them into carbon. And the packing fraction of energy on such a conversion of just 1 gallon of wine would have left a crater 1/2 mile across. Now, we don't find any nuclear blast craters in the Middle East. In fact, It wasn't 1 gallon. They were 6 water pots. And according to how much they had, 20 or 30 gallons apiece, let's take the lower one, that's 120 gallons minimum. And if 1 gallon leaves a half mile across crater, therefore 120 gallons, it would be 60 miles a crater if that happened. That's how much energy it would have taken. And Jesus did it simply by speaking. Therefore, how people can deny that he created the whole universe is beyond me. If he could do that with a little bit of water, without anything being destroyed, there would be no problem with that. But there's another signification that we need to look at here, and that's what this is really talking about, where the master of the banquet remarked, wow, he saved the best till last. Well, what does that remind us of when we're talking about theology? That reminds us of nothing less than the book of Hebrews, where it's talking about the distinction between the old covenant and the new covenant. Remember, the old covenant is based on the law. Obey the law, you're saved. The Mosaic covenant was primarily works righteousness. But listen to Jesus a couple of chapters after the wedding in Cana. John 6, verse 40. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. Do you notice how works have been replaced with faith? Believe on the Son. And of course, this is exactly what the book of Hebrews talks about. And I'd like to spend just a bit of time on that. Hebrews chapter 8, where the two covenants are mentioned. And by the way, the word covenant also can be translated as testament. Nowhere in the Bible are the words Old Testament phrases or New Testament ever referred to the books of the Bible. They refer to the two covenants or agreements that God made. The one, and God made that in Exodus, where the people said, all these things we will do and obey. You see, they had to keep their promise, which they did not. But now, and here, verse 6 of chapter 8, now Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch he is also mediator of a better covenant. And how is it a better covenant? The end of verse 6 is tremendous. Which was established on better promises. See, the old covenant is based on my promise. I'll obey the law of God. And that's why so many people are worried about Judgment Day, because they recognize they have not obeyed the law of God and thinks that's how they're going to be saved. And the writer to the Hebrews continues in verse 7, chapter 8, if that first covenant had been faultless, in other words, if it had been able to work and save people, then no place would have been sought for a second. But God found fault with them. Why? Because they did not continue in my covenant. They disobeyed, they sinned. So what happens? The new covenant comes into place in verse 10. This is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. In fact, we had a memorial meal with our whole family, and even the little grandchildren, when we prayed, said, thank you, Jesus, for this food. So they know of Jesus. Verse 12 continues, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. You know, that's our sins under the old covenant. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. And to make it really clear that we're under the new covenant, verse 13 continues, He has made the first obsolete by saying a new covenant. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Now, I know we're kind of stretching a little bit, but this is what Jesus did. He took wine made by men, and he created a new wine that was far superior to the wine that had been prepared for the wedding. And how can we but not think that that's really talking about Jesus using water in ways that are really surprising to us? One of the ways, of course, is that when he died and a spear entered in him, what came out was blood and water. And in baptism, and we would really want to tell the children this, when the waters of baptism were placed over them, they are now children of the Heavenly Father with Jesus as their brother and the Holy Spirit as their comforter. And therefore, just as Jesus created this new wine from plain water, so he has now created a new heart within the children and a new spirit, so they do not need to fear God, can remember his promises, and above all, be sure that heaven is going to be their home.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus changing water into wine. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel, and you can find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
He turned the water into wine. In the little Cana town, the word went all around. He turned the water into wine.
Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.
Are you a high school guy or girl interested in theology and thinking about becoming a pastor or deaconess? Christ Academy High School at Concordia Theological Seminary is the thing for you. Spend 2 weeks worshiping and learning like a seminary student while having fun and building lasting friendships. Join us this summer at Christ Academy from June 16th to the 29th. Visit ctsfw.edu/ca for more info.
I do not believe that anyone has done this before. It seems pretty obvious when you actually stop and think about it, to bind together in one volume two volumes that belong together, Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. Well, Concordia Publishing House has done just that, and it's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. Find out more about Luther's Small and Large Catechisms bound together in one volume at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order one for a recent confirmand or high school or grade school or college graduate. You know, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Martin Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. Tom, you were giving us some detail on John's use of water, or how he emphasizes water in the ministry of Jesus. With just a few minutes left to us, give us a summary, if you would.
Well, it's kind of interesting. John's entire gospel covers only 21 days of Jesus' 3.5 years of ministry. He devotes 10 chapters to just 1 week, and 1/3 of the 879 verses of John's gospel describe just 1 day. Most important would be the very next chapter, John chapter 3, about needing to be born again. And Nicodemus says, what, I got to get back in my mother's womb? And Jesus says, no, but I tell you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And what we're talking about is that water of holy baptism that came about at the time of Pentecost. John is also in his letter of 1 John, the one who writes, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And he says, there's three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So John fills quite a bit. I want to make one other point that I found really interesting. A lot of people think that Adam and Eve ate an apple. Actually, the word apple was not stated until Jerome identified Adam's sin with an actual apple. And Jewish tradition talks about fig, grapes, wheat, nuts, and other things. What I discovered was from the fig tree, there is wine made. Quivira Sauvignon Blanc, fig wine, Newton Unfiltered Chardonnay, Tishby Fig Cabernet Wine, plus 380 more wines. And I just kind of find it interesting that if they ate from the fig tree, because later on, almost all the fruit was referred to as apple. If you go to Jeremiah 24, Jerusalem is typified by figs, by Jeremiah. So isn't that interesting that what led us into sin, possibly the eating of the fig fruit, is what then led Jesus to do the first miracle where he made wine out of figs. That's some kind of a possibility, not absolutely sure, but I kind of find that interesting.
Then with only about 30 seconds here, Tom, what is the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school kids?
The simple law is do not look at how Jesus is working in your life to decide whether or not he is God. Because everything he's doing as God. And sometimes you may not get the precise answer to your prayers, but that still makes him God because he died on the cross for you. This is the gospel. He rose from the dead for you, and he has washed you clean of your sins in the waters of baptism. And nothing can be compared to the wonderful blessings that you have received through him.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Dr. Stanis Stanley joins us. He's a pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church. We're going to talk with him about Hinduism and a version of Hinduism that's politicized, especially evident in India's recent general election. We'll talk about some factual errors in Naomi Wolf's latest book. Holly Shear of The Federalist will join us for that conversation. And then we'll round off Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, discussing the popularity of socialism with Dr. Nathaniel Blake, senior contributor to The Federalist.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.